You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
That's the sound of the horn. Welcome to an all-new Clipcast. I'm your host, Chris Wilde. With me, as always, Henry Dittman.
Toot toot.
Oh, God, not into the toot toot. Broadcasting live on digital memory card, streaming worldwide. Great to be back here in Vivid Seats Studio. It's my favorite studio, Vivid Seats.
The seats are so vivid.
It's like high definition. And if you're ever going to Staples Center to see the Clippers or... if you have a time machine and you want to go to 2024 in the Ballmer Sports Access Center in Inglewood or Ballsack, please use vividseats.com and you, what do you do?
You got to start this over and get this copyright. Right?
No, I don't. Oh, use promo code OVERTIME, all one word, in the Vivid Seats mobile app. So don't go online. Use the mobile app. Save up to $100 on all ticket purchases. This is for first-time customers only. All right, let's get into the show. Look, I have some apologizing.
Oh, not just to our listeners, but to me.
Well, first, I'd like to apologize to you. I dangled this delicious carrot in front of your face, and I said I have big news, and I did. Yeah. I did have big news, and I didn't tell you first.
I begged you to,
and I wouldn't because it was so big that I had to tell everybody at the same time.
Yeah,
I'm not drinking beer, but I'm still belchy.
I did give you a soda water.
You're not going to change who I am.
You still burp a lot.
I'm gassy. So, I was told, and I'll explain who my source is.
Is that okay to do that now?
I'm just going to tell you, it was Iguodala's manager!
Manager, business manager, manager at Walmart? What kind of manager are we talking about?
Manager of Iguodala's favorite Applebee's. And he goes to get
all the delicious apps.
I think that's at Fridays.
Crappetizers?
All the delicious crappetizers. It was Andre Iguodala's business manager. I'm not going to drop any names. This is who I'm getting my information from. Where I got the information. Loud after party, okay? Mm-hmm. I went to some big, fabulous Hollywood, Black Hollywood event. Everybody who's anybody in Black Hollywood, including myself, was there. I'm not anybody in Black Hollywood, but I am in Hollywood, and I was there.
I want to say that, first of all, only one of us on this podcast right now is calling himself an African-American Hollywood actor, and that's you.
I'm not a member of Black Hollywood. I just happen to be the lifeblood of Black Hollywood. That's not true. Regardless.
You started this as an apology, and now you're saying other things you have to apologize for.
Well, when I'm digging a hole, I like to do some digging. I like to get myself in that hole.
Okay.
So I went to this fabulous event for King Batch's album release party.
Your buddy, King Batch.
My buddy. We've done four feature films together. Mm-hmm. I love this guy. If you can name one of the feature films, I'll give you $10.
Airplane Mode.
I owe you $10. I was talking to the
babysitter. The babysitter.
I'm not giving anybody $10, but I am giving everyone an apology. I went to this fabulous party. Like I said on the last show, and I'm going to elaborate on this slightly, and then we'll move on. Because I have been such a face of Clipper Nation, and all these people from LA, all these Hollywood types, they go to the games, they like the Clippers, and every one of their peers forever was an L-Word fan. And it was like hard to find a Clipper fan. So that when you found out someone was a Clipper fan, you were like, oh, sweet, let's talk Clippers.
Yeah.
Everything's changed.
James Gunn's brother, Sean Gunn, we
Sean
became
Gunn,
fast friends with.
Huge Clipper fan.
Jerry O'Connell and his brother, we became fast friends.
Charlie O'Connell, the O'Connell boys, huge Clipper fans. Mm-hmm. Matthew Lillard, huge Clipper fans. Random actors, Bruce Willis, big Clipper fan. Who knew? We all know Billy Crystal's a Clipper fan. We all know the guys, me and you, are Clipper fans. We all know Clipper Darrell's a Clipper fan. So people would see me. Look, now it's a bold new Clippers team. Everybody's a Clipper fan. They're America's team. Red, white, and blue, and black, I believe, are the official colors. And they're America's team. So I went to this after party. I'm getting the information from Iguodala's business manager. He manages Iguodala's business. So when he says to me in a loud environment at an after party, KD is coming to the Clippers on September 3rd is what I heard. And I go, what? That's not even possible. He's in Brooklyn. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And he goes, Iggy, Andre Iguodala is coming. Game over. So that's what I heard. KD is coming to the Clippers on September 3rd.
Right.
What he clearly said to me was Iggy is coming to the Clippers in September.
Got it.
Now look, here we are.
Apology accepted.
We are shoulder deep. Thank you. In September, he's not here. Clearly, this was wishful thinking.
Yeah, sure. And also, these things are, this is no fun. This is no fun. And if you listened to this, if you're listening to us right now, you're probably finding this no fun because I thought we were going to break your balls on this. I thought we were going to rake you over the coals and shred you.
Curb stomp.
I had a new hashtag, Eaton Crow. Caw, caw.
You can, we can do all that.
I would feel cawful giving you a hard time now because you apologize. Look, man, people get bad intel.
I apologize. I'm sorry.
People get bad intel. It was exciting. The other thing is, given some time, other podcasts as well have sort of addressed this. Locked On Clippers, shout out Locked On Clippers. I love when they say shout out to whenever they mention other podcasts.
I think the second most entertaining.
They were the ones. They were the first ones that kind of had me backing off of my love of Iggy, going, oh, maybe he wouldn't exactly be the perfect fit for us. It'd be a great ad, but not if we had to give up anybody.
I know a lot of people were excited about Joe Johnson. I was never truly excited about Joe Johnson.
You are a small, small person, but you're a big man for coming onto your own podcast and apologizing.
I'm sorry, Clipper Nation. And I am small only where it counts. So listen, I apologize. Now, that being said, part of me, like Linus and It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, feels like Iggy will still be there on Media Day because he said in September, and Media Day is the penultimate day of September, I believe September 29th or 30th, whatever it is, and we'll be there. And on the next Clipcast, you will hear from all
we'll
of
get
the
to
Los
that.
Angeles Clippers.
We'll get to that. I'm freaking
all
out about
all the Clippers.
It.
And I think there's a 15th slot that's going to Noah, that's going to Iggy, that's going to someone.
Yeah.
Like when I went to Media Day years and years ago, and all of a sudden, Luke Mbah-Amute was just there, and nobody knew about it. He was just there. So yeah. I think there's going to be somebody there, and it may very well be Noah. And it's definitely not Joe Johnson. Joe Johnson didn't even work out with the team, like reported. That was a misreport. I didn't hear any apologies on that, but regardless, I'm not hemming and hawing. Caw-caw, hem-haw.
Caw-caw.
Hem-haw.
Caw-caw.
People say things all the time.
Sure, things happen.
Brian Seaman came on our show, was wonderful on the Media Day. The Kawhi Paul George presser episode. Great episode. Hear from all the Clippers beat reporters. Hear from Clipper Darryl. Hear from Kawhi and Paul George. And then I interviewed Brian Seaman in a great interview. He said, I heard him say, not on our show, but he said he thinks the Clips are going to leave that 15th slot vacant. I disagree with you, great
Ooh.
Voice of Clipper Nation,
Brian Seaman. Just for a later in the season.
He thinks we're going to go to camp with 14 guys, and I just disagree with
interesting.
That.
Interesting. Interesting. Look, man, here's the thing. You know that I've said many times to you since we recorded the Iggy podcast.
You said on the podcast, you didn't believe it.
Yes, but I also told you that I'm really ready to go online, go on the podcast, and eat crow if Iggy does come.
You still might come.
Good on you.
Thank you.
Good on you for owning this.
Actually, I won't be.
It's not the end of the world. Plenty of people were breaking you down on Twitter, but also plenty of people were saying, hey, what's the big deal?
My favorite is when anyone called me a clown, and I would just reply with the gif of you and I being clowns.
We are literally clowns.
I describe myself as a TV clown.
Yeah, we are actual clowns.
The character on television I most like is Questy the Clown. Hey, hey! Like, literally, I am a TV clown. We're clown. And literally,
we are actual clowns on the Jumbotron is how we became known in the Clippers community.
And many people literally have said, you clowning. Like, literally looked at us and went, you guys are clowns.
And I'm always like, thank you.
And I always go beep, beep on my red nose because I'm a clown and I bring children joy. I'm scary.
So look, you're terrifying.
Clowns are scary, am I.
Now, I want to be aware again that we're working here at not talking over each other the entire podcast.
Why?
Because I don't know. I've been getting some comments from people.
It's called chemistry here at Vivid Seats Studio.
Oh, I love Vivid Seats Studio. There's so many seats are so vivid.
They're so vivid. Each seat is like in crystal clear, high definition. This seat right now is so vivid. It's so comfy and vivid. I'm vividly comfortable in this Vivid Seats Studio. And you just put that promo code on the mobile app, Overtime, all one word. It says all caps, but I don't know.
Try that. You always should try it the way that they put it in font-wise.
All caps over time to get $100.
Now listen, speaking of putting it in.
Oh, Lord.
Let's talk for a second about other options for the Clippers.
Sure.
Let's talk about Joakim Noah.
Okay.
Because this is definitely a rumor going around. About
I do know that he's a world champion college athlete.
True.
I want to say it was some Florida school.
University of Florida. Yeah.
He's a Gator. Gators.
Yeah, he's a Gator.
Not like the FSU, too, whose Fee and Man, who are semi-Noles. The FSU, too, are members of the Clippers. We might get another great Floridian collegiate.
Sweet Tallahassee, Florida. You know, I'm from that region. I'm from just a few hours away from FSU.
I don't even know how to say Noah's name properly.
Joakim Noah.
Joakim.
Yeah. Joakim Noah.
You're Joakim.
I'm not Joakim. I'm serious.
Oh, but his father was my favorite tennis player growing up because he would run and then hit the ball between his legs.
Right, and he's the one who basically gave us the heads up that Joakim could become a Clipper and was interested in the Clippers.
Yes.
Working out for the Clippers. And I think he would be such a tremendous fit for us.
Oh, yeah. He's all defense. Like, he's all talk. He's like a giant Pat Beverly.
He's like a giant Pat Beverly. The question that I ultimately, like, what would be really fun would be to see who in a game or over the course of a season would flex and scream open-mouthed the most?
Montrez.
Bev, Montrez, or Noah.
Or Joakim.
Who would be the one who would... He is all fire. He's a locker room guy. He's an energy guy. He's an exciting guy. He also gets blocks and plays defense and can body up with big guys. And this is where I believe we're deficient coming into our next season is people who can defend big fives.
Sure.
Right, so...
I thought the league was smaller, Hank. I was always under the idea that we were phasing out the traditional center.
I know, that really was the narrative a couple of years ago. Everyone keeps saying,
oh, the Clippers are short, they don't have any rim protection. I'm like, the league is short. The league doesn't have rim protection.
But there are teams, for example, the Lakers, where we need to have bigs who can body up, and Noah would be a big
I heard Gilbert Arenas, who's literally a gun-toting maniac, I heard Gilbert Arenas say... The L word is going to be better because they've got LeBron at the one. Hear me say this. LeBron James is your point guard. Kuzma as your shooting guard. Mm-hmm. And 7 foot tall Anthony Davis as your three small forward. Then he goes, whoever at the four. And JaVale McGee, who's a human traffic fire. That's like fire when you're in traffic. And you're like, what's this traffic about?
I think you mean world champ JaVale McGee. So put some respect on his name, Chris.
I will never respect Eddie McGee.
I can't. This is like your Homer moment that you are listing LeBron James as a point guard. Like, it is not a great idea. It's a great idea. He can pass. He can distribute.
He's an idiot, and I can't
they're
wait.
They're trouble for us.
I cannot
they're
wait
strong.
For game one. We're going to whoop
amazing.
Their butts.
This is
speaking of game one. Paul George will be there. That's what I'm saying.
That has been your call all along. You've been saying all along that you felt like the 6 week.
It's 5 weeks away. Game one.
That the
opening
6 week
five
estimate
weeks away,
was
basically
was too was inflated.
Conservative.
But now people are starting to mumble that he's looking good.
He's working out, and then people will say, "Well, it's not full contact." I don't know that Kawhi or Paul George will be playing any sort of contact basketball during workouts to literally protect them.
Here's what I have to say. I think if I personally feel like if Paul George is not 100+% healthy, they shouldn't play him.
Sure.
Right. They don't need to have
he
him
wants,
out there.
You know he wants to play.
Yeah, he wants to play. But like I bet you that every GM, coach, player, and fan all feels the same way I do right now, which is that we watched what happened with KD in the playoffs.
That's horrible.
Where he should not have come back. And look, that's what you do, right? This is like sports 10 years ago, is that if you could possibly hobble onto the court, you hobble onto the court. Nowadays, players are much more like...
with a bloody sock.
You never would have Andrew Luck retiring at his age 20 years ago.
Sure.
Never would have happened, but that's where we are. That said... he should not touch the court if he's not 100% healthy. But he's looking healthy. He's looking good, Paul
He'll
George.
Be there game one. We'll talk more about it on the other side.
Do we have a sponsor?
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Media Day is coming. Next Clipcast is Media Day. It's one of my favorite Clipcasts. It's the first day of school combined with Picture Day. And this year,
I'm freaking out.
So I went to that Kawhi PG press conference and I tried to stream with my phone while I was recording audio. I am fully embracing that Clipcast is an audio format. Screw the phone. I am just going to have my microphone,
yeah,
not my telephone,
yeah,
and I'm going to record every single Clipper. Next Clipcast, you will hear from all 15 Los Angeles Clippers.
I'd like to make a counter suggestion.
Talk to me.
If we get tons of gold from the entire roster,
mm-hmm,
we may break it up into multiple episodes leading up to the season and really listen to these guys.
Absolutely.
Analyze, talk about their games coming up.
Absolutely.
I'm so excited. Chris, we don't need to go over our origin story again as Clippers fans.
Did we ever?
We talked a couple casts ago, didn't we, about how I got the tickets,
the tires?
I got the tire tickets.
We'll do it again later.
We'll do it again later. But I do want to say, you know, obviously I'm your new co-host. Previously,
yes,
Mike Jagland, the Jaguar, was your co-host and moved on to do another podcast. We love his first episode. He interviews Brian Seaman.
I got
a lot of love for the Jaguar.
Please stop.
I couldn't be more excited,
right,
to be co-hosting with you. We've been best friends for 20 plus years. You're the best man at my wedding.
True.
I love going to Clipper games.
And I invited you to my wedding.
You have brothers, though, so that's a tough call.
Well, the Indian wedding thing, there was no best man.
We don't need to do this again on air. The damage has been done. I'm hurt.
I'd like to apologize to you.
Caw, caw.
Iguodala, Andre, Applebee's.
Toot, toot. Henry. I am so excited to be here on the Clipcast.
Oh, it's the best. David Seed Studios.
I already was excited to come on and get to
cover
games, go to games, sure, with a media pass, go,
oh,
and have a different relationship with the team.
Oh, shoot.
I didn't think about Media Day.
Media Day's the best.
And then you mentioned Media Day a couple of days ago, and mm-hmm, I started to scream in the car thinking about it.
It's like 11 days away.
Tell me what it's like. Tell me what to expect. Give me a Media Day preview.
It, first of all, is awesome. It's hosted traditionally by Brian Seaman.
Love him.
You and Brian Seaman actually very much remind me of each other. Is that English?
Well, I'm a big fan of his, and I'm a big fan of myself.
You guys are both, if I was drawing a comic book of a superhero that was a white male, and this was his secret identity, it would be a hybrid of you and Brian Seaman.
Well, I'll take that as a compliment. I love Brian Seaman.
And for a long time, people used to call you Superman, and with your glasses, they say you look like Clark Kent.
Mm.
I think Seams has a very Clark Kent vibe, just like you do.
Sure.
And I think you're both Supermen. He hosts. It is great. Everyone is there. Far too much respect is given to, I believe, George Hill, the sports guy, the local sports guy. Is that his name? Black dude, always wears suits. I think he's on ABC.
Okay.
He always gets the first question.
Well, that's great.
I think
he earned his stripes.
George Hill.
He earned his stripes. He should get his first question.
And it's great. So he's there and he's great. Lawler's been there in years past. Lawler's not going to be there. He's going to be in Bend, Oregon, with Sweet Joe.
So the they do a sort of a post-game press conference, sort of sit-down interview style with all the Clippers. So
it's going to be a little different this year because we are a giant media circus this year, more so than years past.
Sure.
You're going to go into the facility. There's going to be a big stage. There's going to be a wraparound area where there's hundreds of basketballs. All the guys are in uniform, signing the hundreds of basketballs. There's photo and video areas all set up. We're not necessarily in there, but we can see it all.
Where they're doing like the poses that they use,
yes,
in the in-game.
There's a green screen where they're
interstitial videos.
Yes, they're doing the videos before. our Clipcast header on our Twitter page at LA Clipcast is a Pat Beverly photo shoot moment from Media Day.
Now let me ask you quickly. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, please do interrupt me. That's the show, is we interrupt each other. If you don't like it, don't listen.
How many Clippers players can I hug before I lose my media credential?
I think one.
Oh, okay.
I think as long as you get that one hug in,
so I gotta pick a good one.
And it will immediately rescind your cred.
What about if it's a former Clipper?
Now, I believe either there or at our first home game, which will be a preseason home game, we will get our laminates with our pictures on it, mm-hmm, and some sort of NBA hologram that will get us in the special Chick Hearn or Ralph Lawler or whatever the heck it is media entrance,
sure,
to the games.
Sure.
But it is great. It is great. And the first, Brian Seaman introduces on stage, Doc comes out. I'm guessing Kawhi and Paul George will be first. I'm guessing the next round will be Montrez, Lou, and Pat, because they're really pushing this narrative of those are the five guys, mm-hmm. and those two guys first, and then those backup three next. And then you'll see likely Zubac, Landry together. You'll see the FSU 2 together. And you get a chance, if you are so bold, to ask a question.
Oh, I won't, because I think I will be too nervous and excited.
What I recommend you to do is just to be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, that's my plan.
And you and I will peel off and record segments there.
Ooh.
And we'll also grab possibly, I love Miriam Swanson, who's one of the Clippers media coverage press people. She writes for the OC Register. She's lovely, so we'll probably interview her. You know, but the usual suspects will be there, the Jovans, the Farbods, and the Tomers, as well as I'm sure the Locked On guys will be there. I'm guessing it's on a Sunday this year, so a lot of these people have regular day jobs and then are also Clipper media people on the side. I think everyone's going to be there.
Will we play media versus players, shirts versus skins? Scrimmage game?
100%.
Exhibition game for everyone around? Full contact?
What I read was it's full court this year.
Ooh.
And that Paul George will be the captain of one team and Kawhi will be the captain of the other. And they choose a roster
of media.
Of media and players.
It's so terrible.
But the players aren't allowed to play.
So it's just the media.
It's just the media.
And by the way, this is all just something that happens at a pickup game park in West Hollywood.
And have to write about it and talk about it. It's a full Freaky Friday. Full reversal.
This is our worst riff. Oh, but it'd be a great game.
Give us a chance to
it'd be a
make
great,
an even crappier riff.
It would be a really easy, easy game to lay odds on. And I make that somewhat clunky transition to tell you that, of course, I want to mention our friends at mybookie.ag.
And you can love mybookie.ag.
You can double your initial deposit by doing all of your, I believe, your wagering.
Sure.
You're wagering on your sports games.
I love to do it.
By going to mybookie.ag, mm-hmm. and you can they can basically go in and use their promo code, all caps
overtime
exclamation point.
That's right.
All caps overtime exclamation point at mybookie.ag and double your initial deposit to go and do your wagerings.
Yeah,
which I don't do because I am terrified to do it. But it sounds like on this site, maybe I could figure it out.
May I
borrow $1,000 from you, Chris?
You may.
Yes.
I owe you $10.
It's $2,000 when I do my initial deposit.
So now I owe you $990 on top of that. So regardless, I wager on the Clippers all the time, and the Clippers always win, and I always win.
And you do it.
82-0.
At mybookie.ag?
82-0 in the regular season, 16-0 in the postseason. So a combined 90... I'm not good at math. 98-0 this year is my call. And if I'm wrong, I apologize.
You're bad at gambling, and your marriage is not going to last, buddy.
10 years. We're going to celebrate our 10-year anniversary. The Clippers, meanwhile, have been in Los Angeles since 1984, which is the answer to one of my Are You an OG Clipper fan questions. Someone tweeted out that they were giving somebody a hard time about this guy from Hawaii said he was an OG Clipper fan and was talking about all these players that actually never played for the Clippers.
Okay.
Regardless, and it kind of got me thinking, and I was like, well, maybe we should design an Are You an OG Clipper fan test.
Oh.
You take the test.
Put your money where your mouth is.
If you get above a certain score, you are an OG Clipper fan. We could also have different, you know, layers of what caliber fan you are. You're OG, you're a new jack, you're a bandwagon, you're a fair weather. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Now, you know my stance on the bandwagon.
There's plenty of room on the Clipper ship.
Get on the bandwagon.
If you don't like the bandwagon, send them to the poop deck of the Clipper ship.
The Clipper ship is a friendship, friends, and we want you all on board rooting for the Clippers.
It's going to be a championship. The Clipper ship will be a championship, says I, and I'm a pirate
There's
as
lots
well.
Lots of friendship on it. Everyone is welcome on, but it is kind of fun to find, you know, I know that we both like to think that we're like super old school Clippers fans, and then you talk to somebody who has season tickets in San Diego.
Since 84.
And you're like, oh my lord.
But even the Los Angelino diehards who've been there since 84.
Yeah. Yeah.
James L. Brooks is probably the most well known, and
amazing.
Billy Crystal was there as well. I don't know that he was a season ticket holder back in 84, but probably, regardless. Billy Crystal, James L. Brooks, the best well known old school since the 80s Clipper fans.
Yeah.
Where do you fall? And it doesn't matter, even if you're just joining us now. Welcome. And every championship Clipper ship needs able-bodied seamen, and we've got Brian Seaman. He's going to be on the show next Clipcast, as well as every single Los Angeles Clipper for our Media Day Clipcast Spectacular. You'll be there. Are you able to go to Media Day?
Yeah, I already told you. I'm going.
You got the green light from the wife and the kids?
Yeah, yeah.
Your two-year-old is letting you go?
My two-and-a-half-year-old is like, yeah, Dad, go for it. You're the best.
That's what he said? Really?
He said, yeah, Dad, go for it. You're the best.
You're the best.
Yeah, I'm going. I wouldn't miss it.
Go for it. It's going to be great, and you're going to lose your damn mind.
I can't wait to lose my mind.
We're going to hear from Mo Harkless, who I love.
Yeah.
I followed the Blazers' improbable Western Conference final berth playoff run. Mo Harkless was a big part of that.
Yeah, we're lucky to have him.
Because what's-his-name got injured horrifically super late in the regular season or super early in the postseason. I don't know. This isn't BlazeCast, but some guy named like Chichichich.
Shout out BlazeCast.
Gotta love BlazeCast, especially on the Overtime Podcast Network. Overtime, I guess, with an exclamation point. All caps, regardless. Their third best scorer went down on the Blazers, and Mo Harkless answered the call and was fabulous in the postseason. I followed him, and I followed his strength and his savvy leadership in the postseason, and he's ours. He's our guy, Mo Harkless. I'm excited about Patrick Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, the human soundbite machine, Pat Beverly, who I talk about excessively. He's my favorite Los Angeles Clipper. Who's your favorite LA Clipper, Hank?
My favorite current LA Clipper? Uh-huh. It's Patrick Beverly.
Well, we can't have the same favorite Clippers. You have to choose someone else.
But I like him.
All right, who's your second favorite?
Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah, dude. Guys like us, we're going to put Lou, Montrez, and Pat in the top three every time.
It's hard for me to go outside of that. I really like Landry Shamet's upside. I feel like he kind of gets...
I really like Kawhi Leonard.
I like
his upside.
I feel like Landry, to me, like gets... I don't feel like he's getting his true...
There's not enough respect on his name?
There's a lot of like, oh, he's... I think that he has a lot to prove this season. Sure. I also feel very sure he's going to prove it. I think he's going to... silence the doubters.
There will be no sophomore slump is what you're saying.
And I think we have some things to figure out as far as how this team really fits together and who plays what position and how they all suss out. And that's why I'm excited. That's very interesting, Brian Seaman's take that we're going to keep the 15th slot open because we have a lineup that may require finding a piece to bridge a gap.
Sure.
Let's see what happens.
All right, let's talk more about it on the other side. Sound the horn. We're back.
I don't know what you had planned for this next segment. I want to very quickly go back to this idea of the OG Clipper quiz.
Yes.
I think it's a tricky thing to do because people can look it up on their phones. They can see
it. It's got to be an honor system, tweeted, I guess.
But right? Maybe we ought to do we could challenge each other next Clipcast.
Absolutely.
Bring in 5 questions each or 10 questions each and see who does better.
Sure.
I feel like you have more encyclopedic knowledge of the Clippers maybe than I do and a better memory for it, but
I think you sell yourself short. I'll tell you that
happens.
I'll tell you one question's guaranteed on the OG Clipper quiz. Name 2 Clipper former Clipper great Quentins. Name 2 Clipper Quentins. Can you name 2 Clipper Quentins?
No, because I can only think of Quentin Richardson and Quentin Ross.
But you just named 2 Clipper Quentins.
Was it Quentin Ross? Is that the other one?
Yeah. OG.
Off the top of my head, OG.
Also, if you ever saw a Clippers game at the LA Sports Arena and rooted for the Clippers,
oh, yeah,
automatic pass.
Automatic pass, absolutely.
You're OG.
100%.
You're legit.
100%.
I also think you should be rewarded 5 points.
Okay, 5 points.
If you currently rep any Clippers old logo merch.
Oh my gosh, well.
And I'm not talking about a throwback that you bought at the airport today.
No, sir.
I'm talking about this Los Angeles Clippers tote bag that I'm holding up right now, rubbing in Hank's face.
You know the
with the old logo.
The Buffalo. Everyone's so excited about the new Buffalo Braves
throwback.
White throwback.
Yeah.
Do you know that I have the black alternate
terry cloth
Braves
so
Elton Brand jersey that he signed for me before a game?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And while he was autographing it, I said, Elton, you're playing great, man. Such a big fan. And he looked up to me and he goes, he looks up at me and looks me in the face and goes, oh, hey, man, what's up?
Because he knew
you're doing good. Because he knew me from being a clown on the Jumbotron.
Because I always assumed that these guys were listening to the coach during the timeouts.
No, they're looking
at us. Looking up at the Jumbotron. They're
looking at the Jumbotron to see all the fans having such a great time. So I definitely have some
all those phantom injuries where they're just sitting on the sidelines not playing, just watching the Jumbotron.
Also, we've had some real lean seasons where guys were not paying attention to the game.
I just feel like
that's going to be a
name
fun.
Name two Clipper Quentins. I have another one. Name three Clippers who wore the number three.
Well, I know two right off the top of my head. We're just doing this right now. We're not even planning it for another episode. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Chris Paul. Obviously, Quentin Richardson.
There you go.
And was the third one Tremaine Foulkes?
I don't believe so. I do know that Daniel Ewing.
Daniel Ewing!
What a bust.
Daniel Ewing.
What a bust what Daniel a bust. Ewing was.
Who is the Clipper? Who's the Clipper player who you had the highest hopes for and were the most disappointed by?
Al Thornton. I thought Al Thornton was going to be Michael Jordan.
I thought he was going to be such a big star for us. Do you remember when we sat in the end zone seats and he came down and missed a dunk?
Yeah.
He missed a dunk and he stopped and he looked us right in the face and went, shook his head like, I'm sorry.
Sorry, guys.
And we yelled at him, it's okay.
Who was the white Euro three-point threat that we got in his head? You used to be able to hit that.
Yeah, who played for Sacramento?
Petrovic. Is that the dead net? I always get the dead net and there's Drazen Petrovic.
I don't know. You should know who you're going to talk about before you start trying to figure this stuff out.
Well, he's not a Clipper OG. This is not on the Clipper OG quiz.
When you said Euro three-point specialist, I thought you were going to talk
about... Petrovic, right?
I thought,
or is that the net?
I thought you were going to talk about Vlad Radmanovic.
Sure. What about the new guy, Vlad Radmanovic?
Ooh, he hits threes like a son of a...
Shh. There was some classic Euro three-point threat who played for maybe Orlando and had his best years. Stojakovic. Yeah. That's exactly who it was.
Yeah, who we heckled at a game for another team.
We were sitting row one, not courtside, but row one behind the two courtside seats. Yeah. And we literally heckled the player who you just mentioned. Stojakovic.
He missed a couple threes.
The first three.
I started screaming, you used to could.
You used to could.
And then he hit like a dozen threes.
Hit all of them and gave us a stink eye.
He looked at us.
Every time.
And we were yelling, I'm so sorry.
We're sorry. You still have it.
You still could.
What's Euro for stop? Please stop. Just hit a regular two.
Oh, man. Yeah.
We like to carry on at the game.
Eric Bledsoe is one for me that I thought was going to be our whole future. And
he's doing big things in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I'm happy. And I'm happy for
him
now.
Probably beat him in the finals this year.
He had a stumble bumbly kind of couple of
runs.
Went
to Phoenix and did nothing.
It's tough there in Phoenix. They just have never really been anything with
that. I liked the fact that Eric Gordon was genuinely shocked that he got traded to New Orleans for Chris Paul. He was flabbergasted.
Well, he was kind of all we had for several seasons and was definitely a small Elton Brand in that he just put his head down, did his work, made his shots. I'm happy for him, too.
But I like that he actually went to Houston and played with Chris Paul.
And he's played great.
I also like that Chris Paul and Shai Gilgeous are playing together. As is Danilo Gallinari for wherever they are, Oklahoma City, Blunder, the Thunders, and they wear their Thunderwear. I don't know if you know this, but most NBA teams just have the jerseys and shorts as their uniform.
But the Thunder.
The Oklahoma City Thunders,
you have to wear
special Thunderwear. And they never talk about it. I'll tell you the worst Clipcast moment. This is the worst Clipcast moment. It reminds me of this.
You're talking about Thunderwear?
Okay, it was even worse. So we had a sponsor, MeUndies or something, MeUndies.com, and they gave us free Thunderwear. It wasn't OKC Thunderwear, but they gave us free underwear to talk about MeUndies on the show.
What?
The worst moment in Clipper history was when Mike Jaglin talked about
Shout out Mike Jaglin.
Talked about MeUndies on the show. There's like this little pocket. I'm like, just shut up, Mike! Just stop talking about it!
Oh, he went biological with wearing
it. He legitimately talked about the experience of wearing it. I'm not talking about the experience of wearing the Oklahoma City Thunderwear.
Did it have a gentleman's pocket in it?
Stop talking about it! I'm sorry I brought it up!
A gentleman's sleeve?
Please, no, stop! Now this is the worst moment. This is the worst. All right, so look. PG-13. I tweeted out the other day, PG-13 greater than CP3, which obviously got a response.
Sure, it did.
Currently, PG-13 is greater than current CP3.
That, sure.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah, okay.
PG-13 got the third most MVP votes last season.
Yeah.
Where did CP hit? None? Did you get none?
Well, but wait a second, though. What kind of juice do you give CP3, considering the fact that Houston was where they were versus Golden State 2 seasons ago in the postseason? CP3 went out and Houston folded. Mm. Like, isn't that sort of like an MVP argument? Like when a team is doing very well and the star player goes out and then they just start losing, you're like, oh, that's an MVP candidate because they couldn't win without him. I mean, CP3, he's been great.
Speaking of this MVP stuff, are you seeing this weird James Harden like press tour he's doing where he's sulking about how he should have been the MVP? Are you seeing any of that? Yeah.
I saw the thing. Is it the same GQ one where he's saying he hopes to win multiple titles?
It's not
same happening. Interview.
Of course, every player happen, but wants
maybe,
to win.
But maybe think
titles.
About winning one, and it's tough in the West.
And it ain't going to happen for you in Houston.
It's tough in the West. I don't know, man. I mean, they got their.
I know Westbrook.
Him and Westbrook together is pretty great. They still have a nice squad around them. The West is tough. You never know what's going
to
happen in.
Look
seven
what
games.
Happened to LeBron when he came to the West. He's 0-1. Stinks,
dude. Almost,
the team stinks.
Almost all these Western Conference teams, except us, where we are so deep. Uh-huh. Almost every one of these Western Conference teams is one injury away from falling out of the playoffs.
You got a Clipper ship? You need deep waters, my friend. Going shallow waters, that Clipper ship's going to capsize. You need that depth. You need it.
You're spitting on me.
You need it. I wonder if at Clipper Media Day, look, Brian Seaman's going to host. He always has. He always will. Are we going to hear from Noah Eagle, new voice of the Clippers on the radio? 570 AM's local coverage.
Do we have time to get into this before we go to break, or do you want to talk about this right now?
Do you know anything about Noah?
No,
Eagle?
And I want to know about it. I don't
apparently
know.
Apparently, he's out of Syracuse.
Okay.
He may be called Syracuse Orange Games.
Oh, okay.
I do like the
fact. My wife's family is all from that whole area: Rochester, Syracuse.
Absolutely.
They're
New York.
They're from the Adirondacks. All that whole
lot
situation.
Of lakes.
Yeah, it's beautiful up there.
Send the Lakers there. So I like the Orange play in a giant football stadium dome for their basketball games. It's
Ooh.
Real serious business.
That's fun.
So Noah Eagle's coming in from Syracuse. He's a new guy. I listen to a ton of Clips games on the radio.
Oh my gosh, we live in Los Angeles.
We're
we spend
constantly in the
all
car.
Of our time in the car.
I am very and much looking forward to Noah Eagle.
This is my selfish heartbreak about Brian Seaman calling the TV games is that I so love him on the radio.
I know.
He's going to be amazing on TV. He's going to be amazing.
Yes. You can't DVR the radio, Hank. You can DVR your sweet, sweet Clippers games.
You can put a tape recorder next to an old-timey AM radio, and you can record it,
I
and
do
then you
often.
Can play it back later.
Remember when I used to bring a transistor radio into the game so I could listen to Lawler call the game
like
live?
Like an old-timey baseball fan.
Like an old-timey baseball fan. And then I would keep score. Another 2 for Clippers. Who got the hockey assist?
Were you a Southern plantation owner? Is that what that is? Colonel Sanders?
No, I'm from New England, Pepperidge Farm. No. We remember.
There's a lot going on right now with your character work.
We all float down here, Georgie. Oh, yeah, I'm a clown, apparently. I'm a clown.
Weird.
I'll tell you, it was humbling seeing how powerful Clipcast, just this one little podcast, the little engine that could. A lot of people talk about podcasting. A lot of people talk about, I'm gonna do a YouTube page and I'm gonna be a viral thing. A lot of people talk about stuff, but then they actually never do it and it's all talk. This little engine that could, the Clipcast, this Clipper podcast that started 8 years ago, it's still going. And I was humbled by the fact that I teased something on Twitter, I announced something on our Clipcast, and it caused a big old wave, a big old digital wave. Now, look, I'm probably the most humble person. Like, I'm known for my humbleness.
You're the best at humility.
I'm a giant of humbleness. I'm the most humble person ever!
A lot of people say you're West Coast Donald Trump because you're so humble.
So humble. It's like the bigly humbling of me. Anyway.
It wasn't such a big wave that it reached TV is all I'll say. No one on television
talked about it.
Doc Rivers himself liked an Instagram post.
And it still didn't make it.
And it still didn't
when
make
you
the
were
TV.
When you were getting really clowned, pardon the expression, from the people who were hating on you about it. When I watched ESPN that day, I was like, oh my gosh.
They're going to mention it.
Are they going to go out? No, nothing.
Just bloggers.
No, nothing.
And bloggers aren't real reporters. They're literally blogging about real reporters' reports.
We're all over the place right now.
You are.
I'm really excited to hear Noah Eagle do his thing. I'm really excited to hear
Brian Seaman host Media Day, our next Clipcast. We'll be back after this.
Okay. We've been all over the place. I want to get down to a topic that people have been talking about quite a lot lately. Mm-hmm. We teased it a little bit earlier, how this team breaks down, who plays what. So you tell me, Chris Kowild.
Chris Kowild.
Who, you're the coach. Who's your starting five first game of the season?
First of all, the first thing I do as a coach is I get a new whistle.
Oh, you got to get a new whistle.
And one that's loud.
I would want one on one
commands
side.
Commands respect.
On one side, Clippers logo. On the other side, American flag.
I want one that's a old school Clippers logo on one side, new school Clippers logo on the other, but it's not for my mouth.
You're weird.
It's a nasal whistle.
Oh, thank God.
All right. So anyway,
I would like to have. Oh, actually, I would want multiple whistles. Yes. So you could play little songs.
I told you on the last Clipcast, I don't like the toot toot. Now you're tooting all over every toot hole. Shut your toot hole. All right, I'm the coach. All 14 guys are healthy. Who do I start? Pat Beverly. Okay?
Yeah.
Is your point guard.
Yeah.
I'm leaving Lou and Montrez on the bench. They're your sixth man of the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
So got to. These guys are not starting. They'll be part of my killer lineup, but they are not starting.
No, no, no.
I just wanted to put that asterisk. Pat Bev at the one. Mm. At the two, Landry Shamet.
Oh, starting.
Starting at the two, which we saw. We saw him start.
Yeah, yeah.
At the two.
Yeah.
Now, Paul George and Kawhi, interchangeable 3-4, let's be honest.
Sure.
They play the same position. They can actually play 1-4. Zubac at the five. There you go. That's my starting five. Let me repeat it. Pat Beverly, Landry Shamet, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Zubac. I hear you. Where's the traditional four? Where's the traditional two? Tradition. I poo-poo your tradition.
Well, there's also, everyone's saying that, you know, kind of positionless basketball era. So players float from position to position and shift around.
A lot of people are saying Mo Harkless, JaMychal Green. Are these guys going to start?
I think that we're going to see. I mean, I think that's really
not if everybody's healthy, but maybe.
I think that's really the question, though. I mean, I think you got a lot of guys. You got a lot of guys that want to win. You got a lot of guys who are interested in load management in general, whether they're Kawhi Leonard or not. A lot of guys now want to make it into the postseason healthy. Thank you, Greg Popovich, for sort of starting to open the door for players taking games off, all that sort of thing. I think Doc is one of the best coaches in the league at shifting lineups around to find what works.
Yeah,
you know,
that's something that we always hear is like, this is the Clippers' 75th lineup change of the season.
He loves to do that. So I really honestly think this, because it's positionless basketball, because you have our two biggest stars arguably play sort of the same position.
And load management is real.
I think that you're going to start to see what chemistry works and who plays well together and what games would Shamet start and what games Shamet might not start. I mean, Shamet's a guy who can create his own and all of that. So maybe you don't want him starting. Maybe you want him in that second lineup. I don't know. And I think we're going to see a lot when they start to play together.
What's nice, too, is my killer lineup of Pat Beverly, Lou Williams, Kawhi, Paul George, Montrez. Mm. Pat, Lou, either one of those guys can be the one. Let's be honest. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are great ball handlers. They're like point forwards. So Montrez is your backup center. Fact.
Sure.
We don't have a backup 7-foot center because we don't need one because the league is smaller.
But maybe we will with Joakim Noah. He's 7-footer.
You're absolutely right. And look, it's all about matchups. Yeah. But I promise you, when all guys are healthy, you're going to see that lineup that I mentioned. Pat Beverly, Landry Shamet, Kawhi, Paul George, Zubac. You're going to see
that's
it.
Good.
And it's a great lineup. And I think those five guys can match up with just about any starting five in the league. And then once you add the depth of JaMychal Green, Mo Harkless, Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, Patrick Patterson, and the FSU2, it's just game over, with or without Noah or Iggy.
I'm most curious to see who's going to come off as our best rebounder in the
I'd like to see some growth from Jerome Colebucks, a.k.a. Jerome Robinson. Rome Colebucks, I believe, is his handle. I'd like to see some growth. Sophomore slump is real. I saw Sindarius Thornwell do nothing, to be quite honest. I saw Trey Tompkins do nothing ever, to be quite honest. I saw a lot of guys who we drafted do nothing for a lot of years. All due respect to Cindarius, great guy. I'm glad he ended up in Cleveland. He's maybe more suited for the Eastern Conference. I've just seen a lot of guys come and go and not do nothing. So I hope that's not the case.
I'm confused by all the double negatives. Not do nothing as in they left and did nothing?
Well, tell me your stance on double negatives.
I don't dislike them.
I don't not dislike triple negatives. I'll tell you that much. So I want to see Jerome Robinson come out of his shell. I know he was battling the injury bug last year. Landry Shamet's the real deal. He is great. I feel like the floor is just going to be wide open for him this year. I cannot wait to see Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, hometown heroes, putting on that home jersey for the home team in front of their home crowd. First time in their career that they've ever been able to do it. Professionally,
it's to me the thing that is the most exciting, honestly, is the second is the bench and the fact that they so blow every other bench in the league out of the water. They have chemistry that's staying there because we didn't lose a bunch of guys.
No. It's not like three returning guys.
You know, you're going to see some situations where they come on where we start putting in our subs, and teams are having to put their starters back in to compete with them.
Here's an interesting narrative. To go back to something we talked about in an earlier segment of why I believe Paul George will be there game one. Just an interesting narrative. He's playing against his old coach at Indiana, Frank Vogel.
Oh, yeah.
He's the coach of the L word.
Right.
You get plenty of L's. I think Paul George is there, not just because he's going up against his old coach, but because he's working out and the season is 5 weeks away.
He just has to be 100% healthy if they're going to play him.
I say limited.
There's no reason to play him.
Minute restriction. He'll be there game one. You're saying he's not going to be there game one. I'm saying he is going to be there game one.
I honestly,
we'll find out media day, I think.
Yeah, you know what? I'll make the call that I don't think he plays game one, but I don't think we're going to be in November.
No.
December when he starts playing.
Definitely not December. 100%.
Definitely not December.
Yeah.
That would be the 6 week. I don't know that I think he'll play game one, but I think that he'll be in the first. I think the first five games we're
going to
see.
People were misinformed when they thought Paul George was going to be missing the first 6 weeks of the season.
I don't know if people were misinformed. I just think that his rehab has gone really great. He lives on the West Coast now.
Absolutely.
We all heal so quickly because we're so happy. And
best medicine. Yeah. Also, like, the best podcasting studios, like, here at Vivid Seats Studio. So great.
Yeah, we're on
if
the West
If you gotta
Coast.
Get seats, go to Vivid Seats. We gotta get the vividest seats to these sports matchups.
You need them. If you want your seats, you go to Vivid Seats.
We live in the West. Live games.
What's that?
We gotta go to your live games. California, basketball capital of the world.
We're on the West Coast. It's all hugging, not mugging.
Four professional basketball teams, and you know my dream. Long Beach gets a team. That's my dream. The Long Beach Dummies.
A fifth team.
Fifth California team. The Long Beach Dummies. The Long Beach Longshoremen.
Weird riff.
It's not a riff. It's my dream for Long Beach. Because a lot of people thought Anaheim was going to get a team. And then all of a sudden, now Long Beach is going to try to steal the Anaheim Angels from Anaheim.
Are we going to be the Inglewood Clippers?
Oh, no. We're going to be the LA Clippers. But we're going to play in the Clippers Arena of Inglewood. But known on the streets as the Ballmer Sports Access Center. All right, anything else we need to talk about before we sound the horn?
I just am really beside myself about Media Day. Is that going to be our next cast? We're going to do the Media Day?
Yeah, it's a week and change away. And it's going to be great, and your mind is going to be blown.
Yeah, so if in the meantime you see a lot of tweets coming from me that are complete nonsense, it's because I went to Media Day and my brain is fried. I'm really excited about it.
If Iguodala... Oh, is boy. At Media Day in Clipper uniform, though.
You'll be prancing and preening. You'll freak out.
I will. I told you so for the rest of my days.
I assume that if Iguodala takes the stage and announces at Media Day that you will take whatever beverage you have in your hand and throw it directly in my face.
But he did tweet on September 3rd, I got bridges for sale.
I got a bridge for sale.
No, he said, I got bridges for sale.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. Math teacher. Not an English teacher. He was never studying to be an English teacher, folks. He was studying to be a math teacher. I got bridges for sale.
It's very exciting.
Probably autocorrect.
Christopher Wilde, thank you very
Christopher
much.
Christopher Co-Wilde.
Thank you very much for your apology to the Clipcast.
Again,
listeners.
I'm so sorry, Clipcast, Clipper Nation.
I accept your apology, and I also accept your dose
Hank.
Of...
Humble pie?
Of humble pie and crow eating.
Caw, caw, doot, doot. But next year, the Great Pumpkin's coming on Halloween to the most sincere pumpkin patch at Clippers Arena of Inglewood.
Patchcast.
Patch? Pumpkin Patch Cast?
I guess so. That's what we'll do on Halloween.
We will. Oh, Halloween? We can call Pat Beverly Pumpkin Patch Beverly. He's not going to like it.
He won't like
but
it.
But I bet you Pumpkin Patch Patterson will love it.
Oh, Pumpkin Patterson? I love it.
Oh, God. Sound the jack-o'-lantern horn. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Yeah.